The long-awaited return of Gary Dobbins on the Hellabass livestream/podcast. We get to all the questions that we can possibly get for 2 hours, rapid fire, answering everybody's rods questions and some fishing tips. It was a great session with Gary. Hope you guys truly enjoy this episode and enjoy listening to it as much as I had enjoy sitting down and recording it with Gary. Truly a fun episode. It seems like the audience was truly engaged, and I hope you guys enjoy it too.
This week, the Hellabass Bass Fishing Podcast is brought to you by Arsenal Fishing. Arsenal Fishing offers premium custom-made performance apparel and tackle. Arsenal delivers a wide variety of custom-designed baits, accessories, and tools, along with unique utilitarian apparel for all outdoor enthusiasts. As part of their support, you can use code HELLABASS15 to save 15% on all purchases at arsenalfishing.com to support the show. Now let's get back to helping you catch more bass and suck less.
All right, here we are, another Wednesday night, back on our normal night again. Awesome to have Gary with us tonight. What's up, everybody? How's it going, Gary?
Doing good, buddy. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you back on Hellabass Live. I wrote down some notes. I want to say it was about a year and a half ago. I want to say it was like fall of 20 was the last time you were on.
Wow, that time flies. Yeah. Time really flies. And the older you get, the faster it goes. That saying is very, very true.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's the whole bunch of the usual gang in here. Lots of members, lots of familiar faces. People are excited. Now, of all my streams, the replay, and while there was only 88 people live, which I'm sure we'll blow by that tonight, but there's almost 8,000 views on that replay with an average of or 4,000 watch hours. So the average person's watched 30 minutes of that 2 hour interview on average. So for every person that like watched 2 minutes, somebody watched all 2 hours. So it's by far the most popular replay stream that we've ever done. So it should be exciting.
Well, we kind of got carried away, but you know, I always say bass fishermen love to fish and they like to shoot the bull, I should say. And yes. I'm not sure which one they like more.
What's up, Trey? I think I saw JJ in here as well earlier. So a couple familiar. This Jay says 2,000 of those replays are just from him. Several people saying they watched it several times just to take it all in. So,
well, hopefully we can pass a fishing tip or something along today.
Yeah, absolutely. Seth says he just bought his first two Dobbins rods, XPs, and could be more excited up here in Minnesota.
That's absolutely awesome. We love new guys for sure.
Yeah. We got a lot of people, especially now that we got Omni on board up here in Minnesota, a lot of people are getting their first Dobbins rods from Omnia. So that's cool.
Head dealer. I mean, they hit the ground running hard. And, I mean, they haven't slowed down, truthfully. It's an absolutely phenomenal dealer for us. I couldn't be happier. Plus, they're really easy to deal with. Just great people.
Awesome. Let's see here. So, yeah, we're going to get going into. We're going to talk all things rods. We'll probably talk about some fishing, maybe what's going on in Texas, some new stuff, things that have happened. But nothing's off the table. I mean, last time we answered a ton of questions. We'll probably answer as many questions as we can. One thing to shout out here quick, I did see that we had Kent Bailey joined as a new channel member. So welcome. And welcome to the team. Welcome to Team Hella, Kent. Glad to have you. That's awesome. Make sure that it's going to be tough. Yeah, Pete is awesome. Pete, Polish Pete is the man at Omnia for sure.
That's awesome. Like I said, great, great people for sure.
Chris says, Rich got me on the Dobbins wagon, the XP jig rod and the Caden jerkbait rod.
The Caden jerkbait rod, that's another, I talk about hit the ground running. It, you know, I fought that whole 6'10 craze for years and years. I just didn't see the need, but that is a very, very popular length. We did the dock skipping rod is, yep. I mean, it went insane. It's super versatile. I mean, I've got guys use it for all different kinds of stuff. And then that 6'10 jerkbait rod, again, it just went nuts. And maybe I need to rethink that. And I always did 6'9s. You know, just when you do 6'10 on a rod, you know, you know, it's just like, it's weird to me, like 6'10", you know, I go 6'10-4".
Right. It screws up your naming convention is what it does.
It does. And it just takes forever to me, wrap my head around it. It just didn't sound right. But we've had such huge success with both those models that, you know, I would not be opposed to making something else 6'10" for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. Like you, I've always used the 704 for jerk baits and things like that. And my dock rod's a 705. And the only two rods that are sub seven for me are the 684 CB, which I'll use for like throwing shad wraps and really small flat sides and things like that.
Right.
Or like maybe like a
popper,
a scrounger head or something like that. And then I got the Colt panfish rod.
That little Colt panfish rod, that's a pretty, it's a fun rod. It really is.
Very cool.
It's I can't say we sell a million of them, but we never get none of them back. I mean, we sell plenty of them.
Yeah. I already see multiple questions on when the Josh Jones crappie rods are coming out.
You know, I'll tell you, it's, you know, I never hide the fact that I build rods overseas, and they've shut down the factories over there over the COVID. I mean, a lot of your listeners probably don't realize, but Chinese New Year over there is probably about 10 times what our Christmas is.
It's like 3 months long.
It's a party for about 3 weeks and maybe even 4 weeks. And they had a COVID outbreak over there that's crazy. And so they've shut lots of the parts of the country down. I mean, I would have had the crappie rods on April 20th, which now is definitely not happening. I'm still hoping. I'm hoping for, you know, somewhere around May 15th, May 20th. I'm going to air them in. I want them. I mean, air shipping now is absolutely ridiculous, but we need them. We talked about them long enough. We worked on them long enough, tested them long enough. It's time to get them. And I don't, you know, even if I don't make money on the first ones, air shipping is just ridiculous. Any shipping is ridiculous, but air shipping is totally ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mid-May, hopefully.
Gramps, welcome to the team. I think, I don't remember if you're new, Gramps, or if you're rejoining, but glad to have you. That's awesome. Yeah. So I guess for people, for the new, the rod numbers, do you want to explain it, Gary? Otherwise I can.
The rod numbers, like this on our regular series, the first two letters will flow you into the right series. Like for instance, DX is Dobbins Extreme. That's the reason we did it. DC is Dobbins Champion. And then it'll say 703, you know, C. That's a 7 foot, 0 inch, 3 power. C is for casting. If it says 764 SF, it's 7 foot, 6 inches, 4 power, and SF is spinning fast. It's a pretty simple numbering system once you get into it. And truthfully, lots of companies do something very, very similar. I mean, matter of fact, I think the only company that does in inches is probably G. Loomis. I mean, they do it like their 844s or seven foot.
84 inches instead of 7 foot zero. Yeah. So you talked about overseas. Is it China? Is it Korea? Is it various places? Is it your rods built?
Yep. China and Korea both. I have factories in both. Yep. I've played around and, you know, I've.
South Korea.
Because of the problems and stuff overseas. I mean, I've looked at Vietnam and stuff too. And one of my factories has a factory in Vietnam, but I'm really happy with where I'm at. I mean, I have no new factories. The newest factory I work with is actually my favorite factory, and I've been with them for 9 years. So I don't change. I don't play pricing games and that kind of stuff. I just don't do it. I have good relationships with those people. They're actually really good friends. Mm-hmm. And I just don't change. Get good product, good service, great people. I'm very, very happy.
Yeah. Questions are flying in. Let's see here. Chris Russ, dock skipping rod is next on my list. Would a Caden 714, 715 work well, or should I step up to the XP line? I don't think there's anything wrong with the Caden line. How would you say, I've never held a Caden 715. Is that, how would the action compare to like a 705 Extreme as far as like tip and casting?
Actions are really similar, truthfully. I'm really hung up. I always want a little bit of tip action for casting. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it just makes casting so much easier. And also, you know, for the guys, when you're picking up against a fish, if you got a little bit of tip there, you can feel it. You can feel when those, you know, hitchhiker bites or, you know, whatever you want to call it. You can feel those bites. I like building a little bit of tip action in my rods. They just cast sure. better and they feel better. And so I do it across all the lines. Some of them are, you know, faster. Some of them might build a little bit slower, specifically, like I'll name one, the 734 Champion. I made that rod originally as my personal Super Spook rod. That's how that rod got made. But I mean, it's probably the most versatile rod that we make. And I will, I mean, if I say this, it's going to sound really bad. I've never say this publicly, but it's been said a lot of times that the Dobbin 734 is probably the most versatile bass rod being made today. And I don't disagree with that. I really do. And it's because it's a fast action rod, but it's on the slower side of fast. So, I mean, you can fish a lot of reaction baits with it. It's still got plenty fast enough for jigs. When I actually finally absolutely won the U.S. Open, finally, after a bunch of second places, I needed a jig rod my last day. And I didn't have what I would throw for a jig rod, but I had a 734 Champion there and I knew it would do it. And that's what I jig fished the last day with. It's just a really super versatile rod. But all the actions are, they're pretty, they'll vary a little bit. Materials will stiffen it up a little bit, but the actions are really close. It's just different materials, different components. Mm-hmm. And that's what changes the price, you know. I mean, higher end materials, higher tonnage materials are just a lot more expensive.
Yeah, and I would say, Chris, if you're a straight floral guy, I'd go with the 715, and if you're a braid or braid to floral, I'd go with the 714.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm gonna get out Friday finally, so I'm excited to put a bend in some rods. Caden says, will we ever see a 726 Ecstasy?
These guys are hung up on a 726 and a 756. I get a lot of requests for those.
You mean besides Trey, or just Trey asking over and over again?
I'm sorry,
is it people besides Trey, or just Trey asking like every day?
I mean, we get so many rod requests, it's unbelievable. And honestly, that's how a lot of models have come about. If I get a request over and over and over for a rod, I mean, I'll build it. I mean, I'm a little bullheaded sometimes, like on the 610s. I just didn't see, when I had 6'9" and 7-footers, I just didn't really see that 610 deal. But it's a magical number that guys got it in their head. So, I mean, I got enough requests and we built it. And it's doing very, very well. But I'm getting a lot of requests for more in the Ecstasy line. But I will tell you this right now, I'm going to have issues with my Ecstasy because Fuji Torzite guides are 1 year out. Mm-hmm. And it's so difficult. Business has changed so much since this, you know, pandemic crap started that, you know, I used to have rods. I mean, every 90 days I'd get a shipment of rods. Now, instead of ordering like 3 months out, 4 months out at the most, I mean, truthfully, I'm ordering a year and a half out now. And it's hard to predict. I mean, you just can't. A rod gets hot and then you run out. The 794, you know, it's a great rod. Not a great seller rod, but a great rod. Josh Jones started pushing it. I mean, I told him he needed an A-rig rod, and what he was using was not the right rod. He was using a Champion 734. And I put the 794 in his hand. He talked about it. We sold him like in a week. So then I was in horrible shape for 794s because I thought I had a year's supply. And it took me a year to get them back in again. So business is difficult to project right now.
Forecasting and supply, with all the delays in supply chain, it's not easy to pivot. Right. So if you guess wrong or you don't hedge your bet correctly, you kind of get in the hole.
Yeah. And if you can't, you know, you have getting guides is difficult, you know, getting corks is difficult. And honestly, you know, I mean, the whole country is going into a quote graphite shortage. So, I mean, it's just difficult. You just got to forecast out and hope you guess right. And it's, but I don't know. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining because I absolutely love what I do. I got the best job in the world. I get to talk to bass fishermen every day, all day. So it's, you know, I've got a great life as far as that goes. I don't want to sound negative, but business has just changed.
Yeah, cool. Jay says he went from dumping fish on the Fury 734 to almost every bite landed on the Sierra, on the chatterbait.
The Sierra is a tad slower. There's no question about it. It's a tad slower. It was made a tad slower to begin with. many years ago. And I'll explain why. I mean, here's the reason behind the Sierra. It started prior to the Sierra, it was the Savvy. And when the company started, we started with Champions and Extremes only. And we only had those two series for a bunch of years. But the dealers were asking for a more lower end price point. They wanted a rod in the 150, 160 range. And I knew that it would be more, how do I say this nicely, but more entry level guys a lot would start on the lower end. So I figured. So I made them a little slower because more rods are broke, high sticking. Guys not paying attention to how they swing fish, or they want to grab up the rod when they swing in, and that's really bad. You take the engineering out of the rod at that point. If you're going to swing, you're better off grab low and swing. You don't take the engineering out of the rod and bust them. So I made them a little bit slower. And the Sierra line has got a huge following. I was going to discontinue that line when I brought the Cadence out. But it took me over a year to get the Cadence out. And by the time I got the Cadence out, the Sierras had blown up and I couldn't discontinue them then. I mean, I would have a list of guys hunting me down. And they love that, especially in your area. Your area with them stinking smallmouth, it's just a more forgiving rod. And
maybe it's because I'm telling everybody that the Sierra 734 is the best chatterbait rod.
I think the Sierra, for the money, it's the best rod we build. For the dollars spent, for the dollars, buying the product and the components in that rod, it's probably the best rod we build and my lowest margin rod. I would say that too.
Nice. Will we ever see a Champ 745? I mean, you got a 735.
You got a 735. Probably not, truthfully. 735, that was before we made the Savvy series. The Champ 735 was the single number one selling rod in the whole entire line for like 6 or 7 years straight. Everybody thought it would be a 734. In reality, it was a 735, and 734 was second. And I will even tell you what today's number one selling champion rod is by a wide margin. Guess, what do you think? I'll give you a shot.
Sorry, what's that? I missed
it. What do you think the number one selling champion rod is by far?
734? No, 735.
736 CB glass.
Oh, okay. See, that's all the people that are wrong and think that's the best chatterbait rod. They're all coming at me in the comments. I think it's the down south people. They don't fish around enough grass. They think the 736 is the deal.
Yeah. 736 is, it was made for chatterbait rod. It's absolutely awesome. I fished a California Delta in the grass with that thing a lot. I do only throw chatterbaits on braid. I don't throw them on floral at all. I throw 100% braid. I don't care how clear the water is. I throw a braid. But that rod is really, really nice. And if I need more power, I throw the Champion 735.
So I would guess that it's been, but probably like 2 years ago or before that one came out, right? Like that has come on lately, right? This 736 CB that people are really grabbed. I mean, and some people like a glass rod. I just don't like a glass rod, so that's why I like the Sierra for chatterbaits, but it's just a personal preference thing.
I'm not a glass fan either, to be honest with you. I built it for the request. We have a lot of demand for glass rods. There's still that old school bunch of guys that think you got to have glass. This rod is special. It's the hardest rod I ever built. It took me a year and more than 20 tries before I got that rod. It was brutal to build and to get it right, but it is the only glass rod that I personally like a lot. In the old days, I threw jerk baits on glass, but I mean, now I throw the Champion 704 CB. It's still, you got a mod fast action. That thing works perfect and it's light. I mean, it's sensitive. Sensitivity doesn't hurt you as far as I'm concerned. I'm not into that. I don't really believe about that letting the fish eat a bait, and you're not feeling them. I know everybody says that. I don't buy into that.
So speaking of rod sales, I think last time, which was about 18 months ago, at that time you said the Fury 705 CB was the number one seller. Has that changed?
That has not changed.
Okay.
That has not changed. And you know what? The thing that's really strange about that is a technique specific rod like that, you would not think would be their top sellers, but we're so strong in the crankbait rods. The crankbait and swimbait rods we're so strong in. It's half mind-boggling, but I swear it's just because of the actions. I just think they're right. And being a longtime jerkbait fanatic, I'm so picky about my my crankbait rods. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Good point, Matt. Yeah, thank out to Arsenal. We didn't thank Arsenal for supporting the channel and supporting the stream. So we do want to make sure we mention those guys tonight. So Jay wants to know why a 5-power 765 is a medium heavy, but an 805 is a heavy.
Great question. And I get it a lot. Okay. When the 735, I put those in a pitch flip category. And I did it a long time ago because, I mean, they really are, you know, made that they're heavy rods. They're made for pitching and flipping and not necessarily flipping, but I do flip it. Pitch and stick, what I call them. And a 5-power in a flipping category is medium heavy. A 6-power in a flipping category is a heavy. And that's what, it's very confusing. I've almost changed that several times, but then I go back, I've got, you know, I've just got, I mean, tens of thousands and tens of thousands of both those models out there. And if I went down and changed it now, but I do understand the confusion, but it's in, there's different categories. You know, you look at a crankbait category and a 5-power, you know, is kind of the medium of the medium. It's, we call it a medium heavy, but it's, yeah. it's in the middle. A 5-power flip and stick, again, it's in the middle, but you take a 5-power casting rod, that's a mag heavy and it's on the very heavy side of like a jig rod and stuff. They're just different categories. Like I say, there's flipping category, crankbait category, swim bait category is the same thing. A 5-power is in the, you know, maybe even the lower end of the middle on a, in a swim bait category. So the 5-power is not the same 5 across all the series. It, I mean, all the different technique rods. And it is, it's very confusing. I get that question a lot and justifiably so. I mean, how do you pick up a 735 that's stout for a frog rod that says medium heavy? I mean, I understand how it confuses people, but if you look in our website or the catalog, you'll see I put it in a flip pitch category and then it makes more sense.
Yeah. Shout out to Pete. He must've heard us talking about you, Pete. Pete's checking in from Omnia saying, thanks, Gary. He said it's been great for their, from their end as well. All right. Yeah, I'm sure there's still rods on container ships continuously, I would imagine. well, Ken, or D. Ken, yeah, let if you got ideas, let me know. I can help talk to those dealers in Minnesota, and we can try to get more of them on board.
You know, the upper Midwest is, you know, it's always been a little bit of a struggle for us. And, but I'll tell you, we are at all-time high as far as signing dealers right now. I mean, it's crazy. We're actually averaging 3 new dealers a week, which is, and have all year long. It's mind-boggling. It's insane. I really don't understand it, except for we have product. That's the only thing I can say. It's I tell, you know, I tell the buyers and stuff that, you know, rods are not bred. They don't spoil. So, I mean, I carry inventory and I'm not going to say we don't get caught because we do get caught, but most generally I've got rods.
Yeah, absolutely.
My bank account looks terrible, but my inventory looks good.
Nice. Good swim jog sea rig rod. I guess it really depends on your budget, Bob. I guess I would one say if you guys are asking for rod recommendations, either pick a series or a budget. It helps us answer the question a little more tailored to you. I think my favorite swim jig rod is the 734C Champ, but you can pretty much go with a 734 in any lineup or any rod. And for a C rig, I like a 735, 745, something in that range would be my choice for a C rig.
I agree. I mean, my favorite swim jig rod is 735 Champ. I mean, I just love that rod.
Yeah. You're fishing for bigger fish in California and Texas. I'm catching 3 and 4 pounders in Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, rod recommendation is something that we do a lot. We do it every day. And the main people that do it is Bryce. It's in my office. You know, he's my manager and myself. We're the one that handle most of the rod questions. And one of the things we ask, we're trying to dial a guy on a rod is, where do you live? I mean, it's a fair question. Where do you live? You know, what are you going to do with it? What size line are you going to be throwing? And it helps us. I mean, you don't need a, you know, a 5-power rod if you're throwing 8-pound test line. You know, it helps us dial the guys right in. And truthfully, we're pretty darn good at it. You ask enough questions, you know, you can dial a guy into the right rod that he's looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you have rod questions, I answer them all the time. If you want to slide into my Instagram or Facebook DMs or leave a comment in the channel, and then the other great place is call the shop. There's always somebody, you know, normal business hours, 8 to 4 or so. There's usually somebody there that can answer your rod question. And if they can't, you'll probably get a call back within an hour or two. So
yeah, we run 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and we try to, we always answer our phones. I hate automated phone systems with a passion. My customers will never get an automated phone system. If it goes to an answer machine, it's because we've got all lines busy. I mean, other than that, we answer them. And if we don't have somebody freed up that can answer a rod question, you know, most generally I'm the one that calls them back. That we just return calls. And rod questions are cool. I mean, it's, you know, it's help getting the guy get the right rod. And then you get an email later with a fish picture. It's pretty awesome. It's part of the, you know, the pluses of the job.
Yeah, people commenting on the shop being super helpful here. And the questions, you
know, are customer service is such a huge part. I mean, you know, I mean, I say this and it's really true. We just don't do a good job with marketing. We just don't. I'm not a social media guy. I'm too old. You know, I do a little bit of it. Usually I'm pranking with somebody when I'm doing it. But our quality of product and our customer service, that's what carries us. And customer service is huge. I'm not going to tell you we make every customer happy, but probably in the very, very, very high 90s we do. And that's, I mean, that's just the name of the game in today's world, because I'll tell you, most of the companies' customer service, they just fall short.
Yeah, at least you go and make the effort. Like there's some people you'll never make happy. As long as you make the reasonable ones happy, that's about all you can do.
Yeah, it's there's some people you're not going to make happy. And I tell you, I should never say this, but I put it in print enough times that I say we make 99%+ of our customers happy, and that other, you know, 0.01% or whatever it is, go buy somebody else that'd rather be a pain in their butt, because this guy's never going to be happy. I don't want to deal with them anymore. It rarely happens. I mean, I don't even think we get one a month, but in today's world, it's just different. I don't know. I mean, but customer service is a big, big deal.
Good point, Jay. We can't forget about Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea's been here a long time. We've got a great crew of guys and gals. I mean, you know, Crystal's awesome. I mean, and the thing about it is you get, I mean, I get compliments on the staff all the time, because I mean, they just do a great job, and it's because of customer service. They're just really good at it.
So there's definitely been a bunch of questions that I've starred in the chat about the Mavericks. So the Mavericks, what, finally landed right around Christmas, January. What's the response like? What's the Maverick all about? Because I think the Maverick wasn't even an idea when we talked last time.
You know, the Maverick come apart. It kind of got started because I'm getting a lot of requests for combos. Okay. And that's what really kind of started it. And with shipping costs and stuff, it makes the Colt series really a problem. I mean, it's just hard to build. So I needed a rod above that. And, you know, I've never shied away from the fact that I put 15% glass into Colt rod. It makes them strong. And the 734 Colt, I've sold that to several professional fishermen. That is an awesome rod, especially like top waters and stuff. It's just absolutely awesome. But at some point, the Colt will go away. It's not going to be this year, and it's not going to be next year, because I've got too much inventory. But the following year, Colt will probably go away. Maverick's going to fill that niche. It's a straight 100% carbon rod. It's a straight 24-ton Mitsubishi blank. It's an absolutely awesome rod. It hit the ground day one, running hard, and it hasn't slowed down. I'm afraid it's going to affect my Fury sales. You know, the price points aren't that far apart, versus 99 versus 139. But the Maverick rod, I put a 1-year warranty on it. And of course, the Fury has got a limited lifetime. I say lifetime, it's a limited lifetime, to try to keep my Fury customers going, because Furies are just, that's been a home run since day one as well.
Nice.
There's some unusual models too in the Maverick. I mean, the 734, 735 CBs are two of them. It's And the 734 was a late addition. I wasn't going to make that originally, and I made it, you know, kind of last minute. So I was about 5 or 6 months late on getting that one in. But it's, gosh, it's an awesome rod. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, there was, and like, how does, the, is there any, how, where does the Maverick land action-wise? Is it similar to the Furies, or what, how would you describe it for somebody that hasn't held a Maverick?
It's, gosh, how do I describe that? I mean, the actions again, I mean, you know, my actions that I shoot for are pretty consistent. I mean, there's a little give and take with the different materials, but I mean, they're pretty darn close. I wouldn't lie on that. I mean, the big difference is like I said, the Maverick rod's a straight 24 ton and the Fury rod's got a lot of 30 ton in it, which is the next step up in materials. And it's just what it is. I mean, but also, I've also learned a few tricks along the way, too. And that 24-ton, honestly, it feels like it's got 30-ton in it. It's very, very well-balanced. It's a really, really good rod. I would tell you, I could turn up fish with a Maverick, and I would not feel like I was giving up anything. That's just the truth. But I'd love to sell everybody ecstasies.
I think I saw a reel about something about a spinning rod with a foam foregrip, and I think that would be the Maverick, right? Doesn't the Maverick have an all foam EVA grip?
The Maverick has got an all EVA grip. It doesn't have a foregrip. Okay. I mean, the only rods we build with a foregrip, unless I'm going to lose my mind here, is the swim bait rods. And
right, yeah, I guess
that's, yeah. Yeah, that's a different deal, but I've never been a fan of foregrip because if the way most guys palm their reels, they've got the way they palm a reel, your pointer finger is on the blank. And I've just never liked, that's the reason I trim the threads on every one of my reel seats. You know, they're cut off short purposely where that nut comes right down there flush with the end of that reel and your finger is right on the blank. And it's just a habit. It's just how I always like to fish. And, you know, honestly, I see lots of guys doing the same thing. Just the way that most of us hold a reel, we palm a reel and that finger's on the blank. And that's the reason I just don't like foregrips.
Right. Welcome, Caleb C., new member. That's awesome. Yeah, that's the same thing. There's, I guess maybe I didn't notice that there was crankbait rods in the Maverick series. You said there's a 730, so it's 734.
734 CB?
Yep.
Yep, absolutely. It's really popular right now too. It's a true mod fast. I mean, it loads really, really well. Absolutely great, great rod.
Man, we're falling behind. spinnerbait rod that has a moderate action, 1/2 ounce and 3/4. what are rods?
And you want a moderate? You could go into glass. You could go into one of the glass rods for sure, or ½ ounce and 3/4, 765 CB straight graphite rod, or 765 glass. Truthfully, I hate that rod, and every time I say that, I got a couple of buddies that they think that's their favorite rod, and I just don't like it. I don't like the way it balances out. After I made the 735 and 36 glass, I thought I could go back and make that 65 to where I would like it, and I failed. It's every time I change it, the original was better, so I just kept going back to the original. It's functionally, it's a perfect rod. I don't like the balance aspect of that rod, and I've never been able to fix it. I've got 3 or 4 rods like that, and I trash talk them because I don't like them because they're not, you know, what I consider 100% perfect balance wise.
Sure. And there are a ton of questions. I'm seeing them come in and I'm trying to star them, but there's just a lot of them in front of you. So if you are asking your question, it might just be a few minutes before we get to it. So I am trying to star the questions. It just, they're backlogging a little bit. So Grat says, any chance of a split grip 722 ecstasy so he can put the hook keeper on the handle for his drop shot?
You know, as hot as that rod is, I would say that that's a distinct possibility because we get that question, what is your absolute best drop shot rod? And it's easy. I say 722. I mean, if you want the absolute best, and I don't use that rod, but I get so much feedback on it that I do think it's probably our best drop shot rod. And split handle would make a lot of sense in that rod. I don't want to do split handles on a lot of those, Ron, but that one would make really good sense. So that's actually a good point. And I will log that one.
Yeah. So Ballin asks, and I believe back in the day you were a notorious rip bait, jerk bait, Stasi guy, and won a lot of money and maybe a few boats on that. So what is your favorite rip bait, jerk bait rod?
With the absolute no doubt about it, best Stasi rod I've ever had in my hand is a 704 CB. And once I'm jerking that rod, and once I get a bite, and I mean, I swing, I don't make a radical hook set. I just put a hard load into that rod, and that rod loads so well, you just don't lose fish. It's the best Stasi rod I've ever thrown. And that is one of my favorite all time jerk baits. I've caught just so many fish on them. It's unreal.
And so I got two 704 pre-XPs. Is there really any difference in the actions of the pre-XPs to the XPs?
No, I tell you, the thing that changed that is that XP was it's so I know what guides are on a rod. That's the whole thing. It's like people think there's a big difference. It's the same exact blank. It's different, it's a little bit different cosmetics, but the XP lets me know that it's got Fuji guides on it. Where prior to that, I was using Keegan guides, and it wasn't a good move on my part when I did that. I mean, it was a needed move. We just do. I'm a really huge fan of Fuji guides, and I'm a huge fan of Sea guides. And it's the only two that I use, and it's because I don't have issues with them. And guides is the number one failure on a rod. It's a number one warranty deal. It's number one. Every single company will tell you guides is the single number one, you know, problem with a rod. And if you'll stay with Sea Guide and Fuji, I mean, your issues go down a lot. I mean, I absolutely love both those brands. Great companies to work with. Sea Guide's got a brand new state-of-the-art factory that I was in, and I was completely blown away. And the owner's a lady. She's so nice. It's unbelievable. Great company.
Nice. Actually, that was Punch was just asking, you know, he's heard Sea Guides are aggressively taking on Fuji for market share. And it seems like you like them both. So
I do. I like them both. I'll tell you, I mean, Sea Guide quality wise, I'm telling you, they're there, period. Sea Guide is there. They just still haven't been able to, you know, battle the brand name of Fuji. That is literally the only difference. It's definitely not quality of product. Because, I mean, I probably have less issues with Sea Guide than I do Fuji's as far as inserts, to be totally truth. But it's so close, it's not him. I should not have even said that. I wish I could retract that. Both of them are great guides. Sea Guide is growing rapidly. But great company with great people. How can they not grow?
Good. Cool. Thomas wants more information on the the 784.
DX 784 is a rod I get asked a lot. I mean, there's a lot of guys that look for the old DX 784. It was different materials, different build, a little slower. It made it a lot better reaction rod. I mean, heck, I personally caught a ton of spinnerbait fish on it, but we do well with our 784. I'd say the strength of that rod, we call it a jig rod, or jig rod special and stuff for years, but the strength of that rod probably is Carolina rig rod. That's probably the strength of that rod.
Yeah. I don't know. Just a reminder, if any of you guys are getting any value or enjoying Gary spending his time with us, make sure you go ahead and tap that thumbs up button. And if you can, share the stream. Much appreciated. Yes, Matta. Obbins does offer a military discount. Maybe you could explain it, Gary.
You know, I mean, I was not in the military. I'll say that first and foremost, but I'm a big believer in our military. I believe what they stand for, and I believe our country wouldn't be what it is today if we didn't have a good, strong military. And I think those guys, you know, they deserve it. They deserve a discount, a military discount. I've done it since literally day one. Like I said, I was never in the military, but I just have tremendous respect for those people that, you know, keep our country safe. I hate to start talking politics. It's going to be a bad deal, but I'll just say the military, without them, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best way to do that is just to call the shop, right? If you want to take in a shop. And so go to DobbinsRocks.com. The number's there. Call them up, and one of the great people there will take care of you. So how long has Dobbins been around? What year did you start it?
This is our 18th year.
Nice.
But we moved out of Northern California, lay heavy on the Northern, not disrespecting the Southern gal. They just got too many people down there. And the North is more rural with a lot more ag land and stuff. Yeah. And we was there until this is our fourth year in Texas. And I absolutely love Texas.
So what's your favorite jig rod in the DX line?
745 in the DX line for sure. But I tend to like a power heavier rod than a lot of guys do. I don't have a wicked hook set. I believe in a good firm sweeping hook set. And without a doubt, DX 745. That's one of the old originals.
I got two of them, and they're both the old ones. Here's my only complaint. Those I've got a bunch of pre-XPs and pre-HPs that won't give up, so I can't get the new ones. So
there's guys on the hunt.
Is that a problem, or is that? I guess maybe that's a compliment, not a complaint. But
there's guys on the hunt for some of those.
If somebody really, really wants them, let me know, and then I'll get a new one. Right.
You know, it's just they were a little softer, you know, yeah. But balance was awesome. It was a great rod. I'm just using different materials on them now. Actually, I'm using Tory T1000 in the DX rods now.
Don says he's got the XCC 755, which would be one of the ones I would definitely consider getting if I do take the plunge. What did you design it for? He uses it for flipping and pitching. What do you like it for? What was your thought for it?
You know, I designed it really as a heavy jig rod. I mean, that's the thing. It balances extremely well. It's got a lot of power. It rates out more than a 5 power for us in our jig rods. It's about 5 3/4, truthfully. But I left it there because it balances. It's still got a good tip for casting, and it's my personal favorite jig rod. I mean, I throw mostly half ounce jigs. I mean, especially in Texas. When I was back in California, I threw a lot of 3/4 and 1 ounce, which it's great for that too. But I just love the 755. I like a rod with power.
Yeah, so it's basically the 755 XSC as a 745 HP on steroids.
A little bit.
Welcome to the crew, White Whale. Awesome. Appreciate it. Welcome to Team Hella. All right. Nick wants to know if there are any of the 744 spinning rods. Are there any 4-power or 7'4" spinning rods that are a little bit softer?
It'd be 742 would be the softest.
Or 743? Or is it, I don't know.
740, there's a 743. I don't make a 744 spinning in DX's. I make a 741. That's a really, really good rod. It's a rod that I played around with guides on a lot lately. And I've actually put a bunch of time on that rod lately, fishing a couple of weird little baits that guy in California is making. Just fun rod.
Nice. Christian says, 746C, best frog rod on earth. And I've started using the 746 for frogs, and I feel guilty for using a $370 rod for frogs, but it sure is nice.
it's honestly not needed. I mean, it's not needed, but it absolutely works.
If you're frogging for 8-9 hours a day, that's when it pays off. Like, you notice the lightness and the, so for me, it's a 735 for my tactical frogging, right? When I'm skipping around docks and brush and, you know, small weed clumps. And then when I'm up here fishing Leech Lake or the Mississippi River where it's, you know, rice fields or duckweed mats, then I go 746.
Yeah, I tell you, the 736, I think it's the best frog rod that's ever been built. And it's in a Champion line. Mm-hmm. And it's my favorite rod. It's the favorite rod I build. And it's because it's so powerful. To have a rod that powerful and balance that well and still have a great tip is just very hard. I would really hate to have to redesign that rod and make it all over again. I don't know that I could ever make it that good again. It's my favorite rod, and you can do so much stuff with it. But for frog fishing, I just can't think of anything but a 736 Champion. But there's nothing wrong with the DX 746. It's just an awful expensive rod for, you know, a bait that you're going to see the bite on.
Yeah, sensitivity is not needed. glass rod. So the lowest, the glass rods don't go below the champion, right?
No, I've always kept them in the champion, and I honestly, I'll tell you why. I mean, when you start doing with glass, and you're, especially when you're rolling it composite style, because the end of that rod is graphite, and I knew that for weight, because the old heavy glass rods were, they're just a pain in the butt. I mean, so, but the forward 60% of that rod is glass, and it's hard to keep them straight. So we have a real high defective rate in the champ rod. We call like, I don't know what the exact number is, but I'm going to say 25-30% of the rods, we chuck them because they're not straight. And we have a high failure rate in the blank, not breakage, but straightness, just because of the way we use the graphite and the glass. You know, I've always put them in a champion line. I couldn't, when your glass is cheap, okay, fiberglass is cheap, but you know, mixing it with graphite and having a high failure rate, it just jacks the cost up of the blanks a lot. So it's all, I've always had the glass in a champion only. And honestly, I'll probably never move them out of the champion line.
Yeah, great, Matt. He added a Caden flipping stick and a Boom Boom spinning rod. He said, I got Hellebass and Sobey to thank, and I think you're going to like them. So look forward to your feedback. White Whale says, why foam EVA on – oh, actually, he's the one that asked the – that was a different question. He's the one that asked about the spinning rod blanks. We talked about that. But there was another question, actually, about – that I was just going to get to.
I like cork. I mean, I use cork, and I would tell you the only reason that I use EVA, the only reason is price. That's it. And if you're going to build a rod – you know, if you don't have a great blank, you're never going to have a good rod, period. I mean, you can't use a crap blank and doll it up and have a good rod. It doesn't work that way. The heart of that rod is the blank. So I put my money into the blank. And when I've got to make a rod that I got to work on price point to be able to get it in there to be able to use that blank that I want is when I put EVA on. EVA is cheap. Cork is very expensive. And the quality of cork is sliding a lot. But I'm just a cork guy, and a lot of the older guys are cork guys. I think we sell a lot of rods because we do use cork. But there's a lot of companies that have completely got away from it because EVA is cheap. Don't talk like that. It's just a price deal. EVA is, if I need to bring the price of the rod down to where I can make it, because I'm not going to skimp on the blank. So I use EVA.
I think, like, I can't find the question, but somebody was asking, why the swim bait rods all have EVA or foam.
The guys, you know, all the swim bait guys, I was not a swim bait guy early on, but I was building the rods and they requested it. I mean, that was the request. I'm getting a few guys now asking for cork, but not very many at all. Probably the most request I'm getting right now is on a 794 SB, the swim bait champ. And they're wanting some cork because they're throwing A-rigs with it. And they like that they want to, you know, they want cork on their A-rig rod. And that may happen too.
All right. Is there, JLL Waz, is there a popular rod for kayak anglers, or do you see a difference? So, like, certain rods that kayak anglers like for spinning rods?
Definitely. I mean, we've got, you know, kayaking, that's got to be the fastest growing thing right now everywhere. It's crazy. And Bryce is a big, Bryson Bozeman is my manager. He never has a kayak out of the back of his truck. It stays there 24/7. But when I started getting clobbered about these guys all wanting a yak rod, you got to make a yak rod. So, I mean, I went to a whole bunch of them and I said, tell me what do you guys need? What is the difference between a kayak rod and a regular rod? And it came back, well, it's got to be something like the Fury. It's got to be durable like the Fury. It's got to be this like the Fury. It's got to be. And really, it came down to, I didn't really need to make a kayak rod. I mean, most of the guys are using Furies. And the only thing that I can say that's come up over the years is if I could make some way to put some kind of float in it. When they drop them overboard in their kayaks, and they don't just drop them over on the kayaks. I've personally dropped rods overboard out of a bass boat. But most of them are running Furies. You know, they have them standing up, they go around trees and they get hung in the tops of the trees and stuff when they get too close. And it, So most of the guys are using Furies.
Yeah, that's how one person say that they like a little bit shorter butt on them sometimes, but I don't know what rod can battles the St. Croix Victory Rod. I'm not even sure what the price point of a Victory Rod is, but
you know, I mean, truthfully, I mean, honestly, guys, I don't. I mean, it's really dumb, but I don't watch competition. I really don't. I don't know what the Victory Rod is, and that's just being truth. I will say, St. Croix guys are awesome. Awesome family, awesome brothers. I mean, I've met them all. I think the world of them. You know, we're competitors, but very friendly competitors. And when I went up and fished the Sturgeon Bay Open a few years ago, they yelled at me across, and I hung out with the St. Croix guys the whole time I was there. Great company, great guys. But I don't know what the Victory Rod is.
Yeah, no joke. I feel like Debo tonight. The chat is on fire. Between Facebook and YouTube, we got 220 some people. So let's see here. So there's been a lot of questions about the Maverick reels. So the Maverick reels have been highly anticipated, slightly delayed, but I think you told me something when we were in the pre-show that people might be interested in.
Well, we got a big shipment of reels yesterday. Spinning only, though. I have not got the casting. I'm in the process of, I could think I could hire a private jet and fly them in here cheaper than what my shipping is going to be, but I'm airing in a bunch of casting reels. We've got the spinning. We don't have the casting. I'm hoping to have them within a few weeks. Now the reels came about. I've always wanted to do reels, but I couldn't really build them as good as I wanted. And because it started over combos, especially when the pandemic hit, combos was sales was insane. I got every dealer screaming combos, combos, combos. So then, and I never really wanted to make combos. I'm a rod guy, not a reel guy. But we had so many requests and dealers were throwing insane numbers at us. So I started trying to come up with combos. It just takes forever to make anything nowadays. And that's what started it. I think the reels are solid. I really do. I mean, I played with them for a year, you know, no issues, made some changes. I sent them to some, you know, really good reel repair guys. Mike Cork helped me a lot. You know, he runs Ultimate Bass. He, you know, he works on reels and he took them down to the last screw and I had two different changes. I would recommend to change two things on a reel. One of them was take the clickers out of the casting reel. So that was simple. You just remove the clicker. And the other thing was upgrade drag washers, which I did. And it's hard to believe how much a stinking drag washer costs for an upgrade. It kind of blew my mind, but I did do it. And no other changes. And so I've had people look at them that are reel guys. And I think I've got a really solid reel. I put a ton of bearings in them. It's the casting, I think it's got 12 ball bearings and a roller in it. For a reel that's going to retail at $99, that's pretty stout. I tell you, I do have a fear. I will say it right here. I have a fear. The casting reels are so smooth and you're going to have to use some controls on them. You're going to have to use the cast controls on them. It's got both a magnetic that's completely out of the way. You're never going to hit it by accident. And it has the manual adjustment on it as well. And you're going to have to tighten them down. And I say that because I'm a pretty seasoned fisherman and I have to tighten them down when I started with them because they're so stinking smooth. You know, I'd get, you know, that proverbial backlash. And that's my biggest fear. And I am going to do a video and show people how I set casting reels. I don't, regardless of brand, is how I set casting reels, and it will help. But it is a fear of mine. It's, you know, once you adjust them, I mean, you can throw these things out of sight. As you get used to them, you can back them off. But it is a fear, and I'm, you know, I'll openly say it is. They're just so smooth that it's a worry.
So are they aluminum or graphite frames?
Aluminum. Oh, no. I said that right. Graphite frames on those. I'm working on another one too. It's just, I just don't like the rotor on them. Gosh, I'm telling you, I'm going to get myself in trouble because I haven't played with them things in so long. I'm afraid to answer that because I'm afraid I'll answer it wrong because I upgraded the rotor on them. Because I just didn't like it. It felt cheap. It felt cheap, and I didn't like it. So I changed it. But I can't remember exactly what all I did to it. truthfully. I mean, that's just, I should know, embarrassed a little bit that I don't remember, but it, gosh, I made these things a stinking year and a half ago, and I'm just now getting them.
A lot's happened. So I'm guessing you probably don't remember the weights, so we'll have to get those probably when they come
out. I don't. I tell you they're light. They're light. I'm not going to say they're the lightest reel out there. I've never bought into that lightest reel. When you start chimping on the gears and stuff in there, I mean, they just don't last. I won't name the brand, but I mean, I had a hard time keeping some of the higher end, really light reels together for me as just the fisherman that abused reels. You know, I never take them apart and clean them or anything like that. I fished with them, period. That's all I did. And I had a hard time keeping some of the lighter stuff, you know, in good working order for me. I seemed like those were always headed to the shop, where my other reels would weigh somewhere in the 7 ounce range, 7.5 ounce range. Those were workhorses that I would throw for 10 years and not have an issue with them.
Yeah, I've got some workhorses. Still rocking the Kronarch D, the old Pearl Shimano. So, I mean, that is not the lightest reel in the world, but it's one of the nicest reels I own.
Lighter's not always the best. It's really not. And in rods, it's the same thing. I mean, balance is a key with rods. I mean, I swear, balance beats light. I mean, a balanced rod is just a deal. I mean, I only use the best materials, so my rods are light. But truthfully, I mean, I put like fancy butt caps on the end of them that are made out of aluminum and stuff. I add weight, and cosmetics adds weight. You know, I will say Loomis did a great job with the NRX, but if you look at that rod, it's got very, very little trim colors on it. It's got very little. They went straight 100% after the weight factor, and they did a great job on it. But for me, if you're going to build like an XD, if you're going to build a $550 rod, it not only better feel good, be light, super sensitive, and all that, but the thing on it, it needs to look good too. At least that's the way I thought about it.
Jig Squad, give me a I saw a couple of your follow-up comments, suggestions for a tube jig rod and one of the kind of lower price point series rods. I would say, in a casting, I would say a 733C or a
Depends on casting or spinning. A lot of times,
he said casting. He said casting in a different comment. So for me, it's all like what I use is the 743 in the HP. So I would say, you know, if you're talking Caden, that would be what, a 713 or a 743, and then you know, or a 733. I would probably go with the Caden. I mean, 713 or 743 Caden would be my pick for a tube rod.
And you fish a lot more tubes than I do, I promise you, just for where you live.
Yeah. And the length. So that's a 7.1 versus a 7.4. Depends on what length you like, CUDA. DX744 of a Texas rig. Yeah, that's what, I mean, I flip like Texas rig tubes, baby brush hogs, smaller creatures. That's kind of what I mainly use my DX744.
And DX744, truthfully, because of the tip, it'll handle a finesse jig no problem.
Yep.
It really will. But it'll also handle a half-ounce jig no problem as well.
Yep.
And when you say finesse jig, to me, I'm thinking, you know, something light, quarter ounce or something like that. It'll handle it fine.
It's a pretty good football jig rod, too.
Yeah.
Man, we jumped ahead of some people. Recommendation for a chatterbait rod in the Fury or Maverick series?
Pretty easy, really. I mean, it just depends on how much power you want in a rod. Because I've gotten a lot of guys that are throwing those like on 733 models. I would never do that. I would throw it on 735 without a doubt. You talk to some of my buddies like Mr. JJ Patton, he's going to scream all day long 734. And it really is going to depend on the angler. It's also going to depend whether you're throwing braid or you're throwing floral. I mean, I throw braid on chatterbaits. But I would say in a Fury, for me personally, I'd say a 735. I'd probably recommend a 734 more often because I think it'll fit most guys' style better than the 35 will. Yeah. And I always come back with, it's a super versatile rod. You buy it for a chatterbait rod, but you've also got a rod that'll throw spinnerbaits, buzzbaits, spooks.
Jigs, tubes, Texas jigs.
I mean, it's just...
A big trap and a pinch, like small swim baits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bassmaster Matt, do you see any hot tech or trends? Do you think anything that's going to be new for fishing rods soon?
I tell you, the hottest new thing is this this BFS deal. And I tell you, I will honestly tell you, I had to ask what it meant because the first times I heard it, I didn't know what it was. And it's bait finesse system. And it's ultralight casting gear is what it is. So I made them, and I call them ultimate finesse casting. And to say that it's been an on-fire technique would be an understatement. I have never got caught up since the day I started on them. Back orders like crazy. And it's fun. You know, it's ultra casting. I mean, guys are using like 5-pound test and less.
I'll just use a spinning rod, but I see why people like it. Yeah, the spinning reel. So we kind of glazed over that. They came in. So how soon before they show up at dealers, and how soon before they can buy them at the Dobbins website?
You can buy them on the Dobbins website as of a couple hours ago. And we started shipping to dealers today. And it's, you know, I tell you, we took a little criticism as far as, you know, I'm the guy that's got all the models. You know, I can't even tell you how many models of rods. I did the same thing with reels. Guys like to match stuff. So you can get a blue one, you can get a red one, you can get a green one, and I've still got the orange in the works. But anything that if you're using a Fury rod, you want a green reel, we're going to have it. You know, if you want a Champ and you want a blue one, we're going to have it. And in spinning, it's all the same gear ratio, which, boy, it's going to blow me up here. It's 5 point something, which is just a kind of a standard gear ratio. Yeah, for
5.2 to 1.
And we're making them in both sizes, a 2,000 and a 2,500. 2,500 is the most popular bass size, but a lot of guys do like a 2,000. So I made it in two sizes and, you know, various colors. The casting.
Yeah. You can add him to the cart right there. He wasn't lying.
Yeah. The casting got kind of crazy because you got all the gear ratios, you know, sixes, sevens, eights. That's what I did. I did sixes, sevens, and eights and all the colors. So it added a ton of SKUs. My dealers are not happy about that. They just think it's way too many SKUs.
Right.
But again, you know, we've criticized that for the amount of rods that we've made for years and years. But for me, if I grab a 3-power and it's not heavy enough and I want a 4-power, I have it. Some of the companies will make a 3 and then they don't have a 4 or 5 to go to. And I'd fall in love with this one, but then I'd want something heavier and I couldn't get it. So we have a lot of models, but I promise you, if they don't sell, I get rid of them. And I have discontinued some rods over the years, but I just believe in giving fishermen options. I mean, guy's got a green rod, he probably doesn't want to put a blue reel on it.
All right, we answered that one. Dun, dun, dun. 610 finesse jig casting rod. I mean, couldn't you use the dock skipping rod for that? Is that a 610? Or is it too heavy for a finesse jig?
Truthfully, I think it's a little much. I mean, truthfully, guys, that rod, I call it a 610-4, and it's on the heavier side of a 4 by far, probably like 4¾. And I will tell you, for dock skipping, it's ideal, and you need that power. And I knew if I labeled it a 5-power, I would sell X amount. I knew if I labeled it a 4-power, I would sell 10X amount. And it's just guys really look at that. They don't really look at the technique and stuff as much as, like, you know, they know a 4-power is super popular, more than a 5. And it's probably a 4¾-power rod, honestly.
Sure.
It really is.
Brad wants to know, is there any difference between a Cadence 765 and a Sobey 765 besides the color?
I got to think about that, which one I made out off of. It's very, very, very similar. Very similar.
Yeah. So whichever one
we do a signature series thing like that. It's, you know, I told you, we're weak in marketing. We always have been, you know, we just have been. We do some signature series with guys and hopefully, you know, they have a really good following and we'll get guys into the brand. And our repeat sales with customers are really good. It's just getting them first rods in their hand is always the most difficult. And Sam is just a really, really nice guy. It's a guy that I would, if I say I'd like to spend a day in a boat with somebody, I mean, to me, that's like the ultimate compliment. I think that he's a really good guy, because truthfully, there's some guys I wouldn't want to spend a day in a boat with.
Yeah, I've got to fish with Sobey a couple times. He's a good dude. He's the same guy in the boat hanging out as he is on camera.
Yeah, he's just a really, really nice guy.
Bob, both of them are good frog rods, in my opinion. So it kind of depends as how heavy of cover you're fishing. I think the 735 is a little more versatile for other things. And the 735, if you like to skip frogs, has a touch more tip. So if you like to really be accurate and precise and do more tactical frogging, as I like to call it, I like the 735. But if you're going to do heavy mat stuff, then 736.
100% agree across the board with that.
Mr. Gamut says, how many boats did you win on a Stacy 90 and a jig back in the day?
I don't know.
So how many boats, do you remember how many boats you won, period?
I know how many boats I won for sure. I mean, I won, it's, I hate round numbers, but I won 40 boats, 38 Rangers, one Champion and one Nitro. I won a lot on the Stacy. There's no doubt. I will say, I think it was a lot easier to win tournaments back in those days than it is now. I think the fishermen are a lot better today. Electronics are a big deal today, where, you know, back in the day, we didn't have GPSs. We were lining up with a tree on this bank and a rock on that bank and trying to figure out where our rock piles are. And it was just a lot different. And I honestly, I was a bank beater. I mean, I really wasn't that big of an offshore fisherman. But fishing just changed, and fishermen are a lot better today. It's a lot harder to win today, you know, than it was 20, 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's just kind of, I mean, you're not so much in tournament game anymore. But you've got the experience to put behind these rod designs. I guess that's just the point of that. No money's no object. Double wide beaver, 3/8 ounce. I would think that would be an Ecstasy 755.
Flipping grass. As soon as you just say flipping, that immediately pulls me, you know, out of the Ecstasy line. Okay. And most guys are probably going to say DX 795. That would probably be. I have a love affair with the Champion 766 flip personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, my son Richard, he's hung up on that 795. He loves that DX 795. I've always thrown the Champion 766 because it cover can't be too thick. I mean, I can pitch it. It's balanced extremely well. And I just love that rod. I mean, it's been my flip of stick since the day I made it.
Yeah, my dad loved the 766 when I bought it. When Falcon was on fire and he was flipping bushes, he loved that 766 down there.
It's a great rod. It really is. It's a powerhouse.
Yeah. Rod for finesse pitch and jigs, 5/16 ounce, 15-pound fluoro. For me, would be the Dobbins Extreme 743. It's probably what I'd throw a 5/16 ounce jig on. And you could go down to the XP 733. You could, you know, whatever in the lineup, but that 3-power casting is where I would go. Swing jig wobblehead champion series.
That's a little tough. It just depends on what guys are fishing. But I tell you right now, we're selling a lot of 44s. The Champion DC 744. We make it in split and full. I mean, gosh dang, I've been out of that rod for a long time. I got them in yesterday.
Ooh, nice.
And that's a really popular rod. Another rod for that I like Link would be like a 764 Champion. It's another good rod. But a lot of time when these guys are dragging those wobbleheads, it's somewhat like Carolina rig fishing, except for it's not, because it's completely different technique. And the wobbleheads on the bottom, but you're still kind of doing the same thing as you are with the Carolina.
A 764 could be a really good one for that, I think.
It would.
734 would be a nice rod to do that and do a lot of other things as well. Speak of the 744, I bought that rod early last year because I finally had one of my Zetas finally died. And so I instantly fell in with the jig rod special. And I mean, for the money, I feel like it punches almost as well as the 745 Extreme. Like, hard for me, as much as I love, I own two of the 745s, it's hard for me to justify the extra $100 after fishing that rod for a year.
The 744 is it's extra fast. You know, yeah. When I say jig rod special, but jigs, when you set the hook, you want that rod loading quick, and you want, it's got to have the power to penetrate that weed guard up and hook that fish in the roof of the mouth. That rod's got a lot of power. We sell a lot of them. It's a great jig rod. It just really is, but it's extra fast. And so the guys that don't like a really, really fast rod, they probably wouldn't like it. But the guys that do absolutely love it.
Yeah. Just noticed that we're over 200 on YouTube and 230 total. So thanks to everybody that showed up tonight. Obviously, people are enjoying it, Gary. Lauren says, what type of rod should I go high-end first? I always say that if you're going to invest in the more expensive rods, I typically go for my bottom contact rods, right? Like my jig rods, my drop shot, my finesse rod, like anything where you feel is important. And then I tend to go more budget-friendly rods for topwaters, for frogs, for moving baits, things like that. So that's my general advice for people.
Everything we build, it's a good rod. I tell guys all the time, obviously I can walk out there and I can grab whatever rod I want and walk out the door with it. But I personally fished 90% champions and I fished ecstasies. And I've been fishing a DX741 spinning a little bit lately, but and a DX764, I like to swim grubs with that rod, on a spinning rod. I like to swim grubs and stuff with it. But I fish mostly champion series. It's such an absolute awesome build. It's the only series I've never messed with because it started so good. I've given it some facelifts, but I've never changed that blank from day one. And it's just my son Richard, the same thing. He fishes 90% champions and he's got a couple ecstasies he likes, mainly spinning and jigs, your bottom contact. But you don't need a high-end rod for top water. Reaction baits. Like I said earlier, that 734 Colt is a really overlooked rod because people can't really believe a $79 rod will fish that well. Mm-hmm. But for reaction baits and stuff, I've got some pros that are throwing super. That's their super spook rod. They absolutely think it is the best super spook rod they've ever had. But when it comes to that feel, the better materials and the better balance and guides play such a huge factor in a rod, in the balance, and even the sensitivity of a rod. It's the guides are it's huge. I've actually even re-guided a couple rods for guys walking in wanting to know differences, and I just showed them. We have in the shop a wrapped 744 with Torzite guides on it and a 745, both DXs, of course, with Torzite guides, where I show guys. I said, this is the difference. This is what guides do. Just where I could show them. We've got a bender board in there. If guys want to compare actions and stuff, we throw rods on the bender board. We could show it to you right there and show you exactly what that rod's going to do.
Nice. Yeah, and I echo that. I've got rods from, the Colts all the way up to the extremes. I haven't got an XCC yet because I'm afraid that I'll get more when I do. So I said that last time, and so I've made it 18 more months without buying an ecstasy so far. rod recommendation, looking for a graphite cranking stick, shallow rivers, smallmouth in Indiana, preferably not glass or too long. I think the 704 CB would be ideal for small cranks and rivers.
I'll tell you a really good rod but he said long. That's the thing that threw me there. Yeah. Otherwise, instantly I would have said, champion 764 CB.
Sure.
That rod is phenomenal. It's the best wiggle wart rod or rock crawler rod. I will tell you, I won two tournaments on that rod, throwing 8-pound test with a scrounger head. It's just a great rod. You can't break them off an 8-pound test on a swing. It's a mod fast. It loads really well deep into the blank. It's a rod that's one of those, I've got about 10 rods that I fish, and that is definitely one of them. But when he said not too long, it pulled me off, and I would drop back and say Caden 734 CB.
Yeah. And then is 7'3 too long? 7 foot too long, right? So then that drops you. If it's 7 foot, then you're talking 704, 705, Champ or Fury. Or I guess isn't there a Colt?
705 CB. Yep, there's a Colt 705 CB.
So there's a lot of options. You can always DM me on Instagram. We can talk it over, White Whale. When are we going to see the new boat? You guys will see the new boat when I see my new boat. It's not here yet. I know I posted some pictures of a boat in my garage, but that's my buddy's boat, and we're fishing a tournament this weekend. So it's probably going to be May for sure still before we see the new boat.
That's a market that's really behind right now. They're having the whole market's having a hard time catching up with demand on new boats.
Yeah, so I see your follow-up. White whale square bills, I'd just go with a 705. Whatever 705 fits your budget would be a great rod. I think you offer two-piece rods in the Sierra Panfish, but that's about it, right?
That's it. The only two-piece – I'm a one-piece rod. I mean, I just like them. But for trout fishing, it's – I mean, it's just – storage, you know, you're headed to streams or whatnot. It two-piece rods come in handy, and that's the only thing we make two-piece. And we actually just got those back in yesterday. I got a ton of rods yesterday.
Nice.
I was out of a bunch of my panfish rods.
So if you've been waiting on a rod, start looking at the website tomorrow in the next couple of days.
Let's see, the comment 40 boats. Yeah, it's I'm old. Fishing has changed a lot. We used to fish for a lot of boats. BASS, even in the opens, they used to give a boat away. They gave Ranger boats away to the top three spots. I mean, first, second, third on a boat. And we used to fish for a lot of boats.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of that panfish rod, I bought one for my dad for crappie fishing, those Sierra rod, and he loves them. When the bite is tough down there, he says, like, his other buddies will just be like, and they're like, how do you, he's just like it's almost like a, because a lot of them have that, wasn't it, like graphite or a certain kind of tip. What is it? It's a don't they have a different tip on those panfish rods?
On the panfish rods?
Yeah.
It's the pan. It's got a solid carbon tip on it.
Yeah, solid carbon tip. So it's almost like a spring. Like if people like think of like spring bobbers for ice fishing, it's got a super like, and he sees that little tip bounce on those crappies and like. And his buddies are like, what's going on? How do you keep catching all those fish?
It makes them super, super sensitive, too. It kind of blew me away. When I tested those, I actually tested them on Lake Shasta in California, fishing 45 to 55, 60 feet deep with them, with light stuff. It was amazing. They can't grab it and you not know it.
Is built as a super sport. How about a rod flipping fights, lipless traps out of the thickest balls of Florida hydrilla?
Amazing how many fish you catch when you snap it out of that grass. It's just absolutely amazing.
Christian says, broke a third guide from the top off his first gen HP 743 or DX 743. Does it matter if I don't put the same guide on originally?
It's not going to affect the rod, but I'll be honest with you. If you'll call us, I'll send you that guide.
There you go.
Yep, you'll call the shop. I mean, we'll send it to you. I send the guide. I pay for the postage. I mean, and you can have somebody locally wrap it. It's a lot better than trying to send the rod back for us to repair it. But I have all those guides in stock.
Yeah. Otherwise, if you got a good shop around you, I found like Thorn Brothers near us. They don't carry Dobbins, but they're a rod repair shop. If I bring a rod in, the guides they typically put on do a really good job of matching it regardless of which generation rod I have. Will there ever be a 610 in the Sobey lineup?
Probably not. No plans right now, honestly. Just being honest. I mean, no plans right now to build it. Everything has taken so long to build right now. It's driving me nuts. I mean, the new stuff that I'm working on, one of the new things I'm working on is like I want a 5-power swim bait rod, 8-footer, which is a hole. We make 7-9s and stuff, but 8-footer, maybe a little more than 8-footer. You know, we did really well with Mike Buka and the Buka rod at 8.3. The problem comes into shipping is, so man, when you break that 8-foot mark, the shipping price is just insane. And that's the only problem. But I know we could do well with a 5-power and a longer swim bait rod for sure.
Fish for Life says, I've known you since we were kids, moving from California to Texas. I think we talked, this is Kenny Elliott says hi.
Kenny, we're not that far apart in age. So, we grew up fishing. They had a place out there called Abroga Slough, and, the Elliots and me and my brothers, we all grew up fishing out there like crazy. It was, truthful. We had to walk probably 4 to 5 miles to get there, and we did it all the time. I sure didn't have that belly then that I have now, though.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this last time. biggest thing is it's taxes and logistics and being centrally located for shipping and the cost of operating the business was a big move from California to Texas, I believe, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I tell you, the big move part was number one is I was sick of California's crap for number one, but we outgrew our building there. You know, we had a 6,800 square foot building there, and we had storage units rented all over town. It was such a pain, you know, chasing down rods, and I needed to build a bigger building. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't afford to do it in California. That was just a straight up deal. I couldn't afford to do it, and I'd spent a lot of time around Lake Fork fishing over the years. I love the area. I love the people. Everybody is so friendly. It's unbelievable. And I pulled a business out of there. I will tell you, it's tough. I will always consider California home. You know, my family, my dad's still alive there. My brothers, my sisters, you know, my grandkids, son and daughter. I'm hoping that there's so many people leaving there. I'm hoping some of my relatives do one of these days. It's really hard. It's really hard leaving the grandkids. You know, it really is. But we visit often.
Somebody said YouTube is lagging a little bit. That's not good. Hopefully that fixes itself. Travis says, never change the 764 spinning rod for pig smallmouth. That's a personal request.
There's one thing I could change on that he would like, I promise you. Because I've changed that rod for myself for swimming jigs. And it's a guide change only. It's nothing to do with the blank.
Best football jig rod.
You say best, that's going to automatically, for a jig rod, is going to put it in an ecstasy line for sure. It would probably be a 754, which is our number one selling jig rod in the ecstasy line.
Yeah. But otherwise, yeah, that kind of depends if you're more of a 4 or 5 power, you know. But yeah, I would say 7.3, 7.4, 7.5, 4 to 5 power. John says, any chance we're going to get an 807 swim bait fury rod?
You know, I'll tell you, that honestly is worth considering, truthfully. That's never thought about it, honestly. Never been requested before. But I promise you it would do well.
There you go. Are you expecting to add any rods to the Sierra lineup?
I don't have any plans to right now. That could always change. I just don't know what a hole I would have in there. If I did, it would probably be something in the crankbait series. It would something be something in the cranking. And we got so many crankbait rods now. Sierra doesn't have any. There's no crankbait rods in a Sierra.
But the thing is, like a Sierra with its slightly more slower action, like a 703 or 733 Sierra actually is a pretty good crankbait rod.
When guys are there's a lot of guys that want a fast action rod for throwing a jerk bait. I'm going to tell you 80% or 85% of the guys, they want a mod fast action, just like what you and I would throw a Stacy 90 on. But there is probably 15% of the guys out there that are into this extra fast action for throwing a jerk bait. I don't agree with it. I guarantee you're going to lose more fish. But when we get that question and we get it almost daily from someone, I put them in a Sierra line. And, you know, I try to get them like a 682, you know, a lighter action casting rod because it just loads quick.
Sure. Yeah, I tried to shut down a few extra windows and shut out some other programs. So hopefully that killed the lag here. YouTube gave us a little bump here. Dave said he bought several Sobe and a few other rods and he's excited about them. So he says thanks to Hella and Sobe. 763, good for pitch and finesse jigs? Should be.
Absolutely. That rod was made for Diamond Valley. The guys were needing a light Carolina rig rod down there. Carolina rig was dominant on that one fishery, and they were it's so clear and so much pressure in SoCal that they were throwing 6-pound test leaders, and that's what brought the 763 along. But We have a bunch of guys using it for finesse jigs.
Yeah. Follow up. Somebody says Victory's $200 price range. I would say put the Caden up against that. Probably a pretty pound for pound. I think that would you'd be pretty pleased with it. He says last time the Sear was getting a makeover. I don't remember if you talked about that or not.
I mean, I don't remember saying a makeover. I tell you, it was going to go away. That was the thing. The Sierra was going to go away with the Cadence come online, but then the Sierras they just caught fire, and I can't do away with them, and they're a different action. And a lot of the Sierras are split handle, and a lot of the Cadence are full handles. And there's guys that like they're really adamant about either wanting a full handle or a split handle. And we sell a lot of Cadence because the guys are looking for full handles. But I don't know why split handles are as popular as they are. I mean, for me, when I'm using a split handle, that thing, if I'm wearing a hoodie, it's stuck in my pocket all the time. I don't know if I'm the only one that happens to, but it drives me nuts. I like full handle rods a lot better.
Yeah, me too. For the most part, it's not a driver for me either way. If I have a breaker rod or I need a rod and I'm going to order it, it's not going to deter me from not ordering it if it's, you know, one way or the other.
We try to make a lot of our popular rods, we make them both ways, you know, for the guys actually have the option, especially in a Champion and a DX lines.
So if the Colts go away, is the Panfish rod going to enter the Maverick or the series?
If the Colt goes away.
So he's saying he loves the Colt Panfish rod. So if the Colts are going to be gone in 2 or 3 years, is there going to be another Panfish price point rod?
That rod is already being made. It is made right now in the Maverick series has got the 601.
Okay.
Panfish rod already made and in stock.
Oh, it is? Okay.
I tell you a rod that's really good for panfish. It's the Cadence, the 700 SF. That is a rod that's what I use. It's super light. It's a fast action type light though. It's not like an ultralight where it's going to bend all the way back to the butt. You can throw 16th ounce on it. Awesome. It's a fun rod to fish. It really is. I mean, I'm really hooked on fishing a bunch of ponds and stuff here around Texas. It's real easy. And I take that thing out, put a little crappie jig on it, and just have a ball catching fish.
Which one is that again?
The Cadence 700 SF. It's a 7 foot zero power spinning rod.
I've used my Sierra 701 for crappies in a pinch before.
it's a fun rod though.
Favorite big buzz bait rod.
When you say big buzz bait rod, I mean, I start thinking of like a big double wing. If I'm fishing around grass and stuff, I mean, honestly, I throw it on the flipping stick, a 765 Champion. If I'm catching big fish on a big, I throw that big double buzz a lot, and it's phenomenal bait for catching big fish around grass. And I do, I throw it on a 765 flipping stick. There's other rods. I mean, probably a 764 Champ would probably be more suitable for a lot of people. But man, that thing is, I put a horny toad, a full size horny toad on the back of that on a big double buzz. And it just catches big fish, lots of them. And, you know, I'm working grass and stuff. So it's a heavy bait with that double wing and in the horny toad and all the weight in there. And I just throw it on a flipping stick. I see the comment about the 734. I'll say it again. For the money, I think the Sierra is the best rod we build. I mean, for the money, it really is.
Most popular rods in Minnesota. What do you think you guys sell the most of up here in Minnesota?
Oh, boy, oh, boy. I would have to probably think spinning, but I could be wrong. Probably 732 or 733 Champion would be good guesses, but I'm not sure it's the right guess. I can actually break that down. I can't, my daughter can. And we know where what parts of the country that we sell the most rods and stuff. It's pretty amazing. Like coming from the West Coast, you know, everybody seems to think that that's the large percentage of our sales. And in reality, it's not. It's 35% of the sales are like in the western United States, and 65% of our sales is from the center of the United States east. We sell a lot of rods, you know, outside of California and Nevada and Arizona and Washington, Oregon and stuff. 35-65 is a split.
Nice. So South Jersey says, how important is a reel seat into a rod design? Or is it more about the blank?
It's way more about the blank than the reel seat. I will tell you that I use a lot of Fuji, mostly Fuji reel seats. And the reason I do it is because some of these reel companies will mess up the foot of the reel, and the guys never think it's a rod issue. I mean, it's a reel issue. It's automatically a rod issue every time. And it's not. It's a reel issue. And when you use a Fuji reel seat, I just tell them that's the industry standard. You know, you can't do it. That reel seat is right and your reel foot is wrong. And then we'll figure out what reels they are. Pretty soon we'll just say, well, you're throwing X brand and well, it's not a rod deal. And a lot of times you can like file the top of the foot or something and make them fit in those, but it's not a seat issue. But I don't think seats are the biggest deal. I use Fuji seats on everything except for Colts and the new Mavericks. And it is a very high grade China seat, to be honest with you. Tested. We have not had one single issue with that seat ever.
Chris wants to know what kind of boat you run.
We run a Vexus VX20. Great boat. Love it. I mean, those guys have treated me like family for 38 years or something. So, I mean, I've just been with them forever. And I mean, just to follow up on that, that's the Forest Wood gang and Randy Hopper gang and Keith Daffrey gang.
The OG Ranger gang.
Yeah. It's those guys have treated me like family forever. And when they started the Vexus line, I mean, it was a given. That's where I was going to go. I mean, I love those guys. Like I said, they're like family.
Nice. I actually fished out of one in a team tournament. That was pretty impressive. It was a nice boat. Rod recommendation for pitching fat Ikas. I can't say that I've ever done that, so I'm going to defer to you.
That's an awesome bait. I'll be honest with you. That's an awesome bait. That sucker catches a lot of fish. And, you know, I started the Wild West Bass Trail in the West with Matt and Angie Morgan as partners. And one of our tournaments that was won on Mojave, that's what the guy wanted on, was pitching a fat Ika. And the cool thing about an Ika is if you rig it backwards of what you would think, when you pitch it in, it goes away from you automatically.
Like a flying lure.
You can pitch it at the edge of the grass and it'll swim back underneath the grass. Or you pitch it to the front of a dock and it swims back underneath the dock. You rig it backwards, basically the hook, the tentacles are facing you and the body of the bait's facing away. If you put like a 3-0 Yamagatsu super line in it, it's awesome. It covers that whole bait. They can't grab it without getting hooked up. But great baits to pitch, though, to get to the right question. I get hung up on that bait. It's an awesome bait. Any 3 or 4 power rod will pitch that bait really, really well. I like having a little bit of power because a lot of times where I'm fishing that bait, I'm going to need it. Because like we toolies, we call them in the West. Out here, sometimes they call them bull rushes. But if you pitch that thing into those and it just rattles as it's swimming down through all them toolies and stuff. It's just cool. Friggin' awesome bait. Very overlooked bait. Fat Ika. Yamamoto. It's great bait.
Chance of a 684 crankbait split grip.
You know, I've always thought crankbait rods should be full handles. The only one that we're not, that off the top of my head I can think of is the Fury. And like I said, it is our single number one selling rod in the whole company. And it is split, but most of the time I think crankbait rod should have a full handle.
Yeah, because you're kind of like, right, you want that smooth, because you're kind of usually putting it down your forearm. I don't know. Yeah.
I tell you, Texas guys is probably, I think of all the states in the union, I think Texas is the worst guys in the world about wanting split grips. Don't know why. I mean, I argue with them daily about it. I just think fulls are better, but, you know, obviously we make splits. That's what the guys want. We'll make them, but I really like full handles.
Nice. This goes back to the spinning. Any 3,000 or 4,000 reels in the works?
You know, I can do it, no doubt. I mean, I've already got them made at it's just starting to get into the real game. I just had to kind of pick and choose my battles, and I will say this. Okay, this is gonna be in trouble. The 2500, the size of reels have changed over the years. The 2500 is smaller than the old 2500.
And there's no standard. Like there's no much standard. Like medium heavy, there's no standard
Reels, spinning reels have shrunk. I mean, the old 2500s that that the old guys grew up fishing are now, 2000 size. So I took a 3000 and I renamed it a 2500. And the 2000 is probably everybody else's 2500.
Sure.
But I can't get away from that old school stuff. And I mean, a 2500 is a certain size. And the bigger the size of the reel, obviously that bigger spool stops with a lot of your line twist. And especially with fluorocarbon, it just makes it cast better and everything. But so my 2500 is an old style 2500. Where a lot of these, you're going to see it's going to be bigger because it was a 3000 and I just made it a 2500.
So check out the 2500. And then if you still think you need a bigger one, send a note.
Yeah. It's and most of the time a 3000 and most of the company, the 3000 is basically the same body, but just a bigger spool.
Yeah.
Which is the key again with that fluorocarbon and line twist and stuff.
Yeah, so my 2020 Arsenal video, at that time, I think I was probably throwing a chatterbait on a Zeta 754, which is a ridiculous rod to be throwing that on. So I've since moved it to a Sierra 734. So as a rod that you can currently get that I mainly fish my chatterbaits on now is a Sierra 734. Dobbins rod sleeves. I don't know. There's a lot of good rod sleeves out there. I don't know.
I've got rod sleeves coming, guys.
There we go.
It's... daily request, absolute daily request. And I will tell you the only reason I haven't done it prior is I've got buddies that do rod sleeves and I just didn't want to step on it. But daily, we get that question every single day. We have rod sleeves coming both in the mesh as well as the neoprene.
All right. Do you think you're ever going to do 6-power rods, like a frog rod and the Caden or Fury or any of those series?
No plans right now. Haven't really thought about it, even though I told you my favorite rod is a 736 Champion. I mean, it's my all-time favorite, and I still think it's the best frog rod. But I'm not – right now, I don't have any plans. Making stuff right now is just really difficult.
Right. It's more about – keeping what you have in stock and fulfilling than trying to expand right now, right? It's like
100%. It's just,
and I think a lot of manufacturers are that way. Like,
I tell you, I opened a new dealer up in Ohio the other day. Great dealer, phenomenal dealer, and we shipped his order 100% the first time, and he could not believe it. Big dealer, and he just like, I can't. You guys ship 100%. I go, yeah, we shipped 100%. We got them all, and I can't always say that. I'm definitely not the case, but, we keep a lot of stock. And, I can't even tell you how many models we got because, truthfully, I don't know. If I had to guess, it's definitely in the 200s. But and just trying to maintain stock is difficult.
Yeah. Bill, 745 versus 795. For me, 745 is more of a jig rod. Up to like, I guess I will occasionally go half, 3/4 ounce beavers and things like that. But my 795, I'm typically going 1 ounce flipping. That for me, that's kind of where I draw the line. Like I like to flip 1 ounce when it's more thicker grass, more matted vegetation. 745 is usually more edges, and I don't know. That's how I do it.
Agreed, and it's a different action, and there's just a lot more power. They're both called 5-power, but that 795 is flipping 5-power.
I will punch with a 795. I won't punch with a 745. I guess that's the best way to say it.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
and a 795 will work as a matte frog rod. I mean, obviously, you don't need that nice of a rod for a frog, but it will, like, get them out of the heavy stuff.
For sure.
Nick wants to know, how do the Caden 4-powers compare to the Champ 4-powers? And obviously the 734 is a little different, but
really close. Caden's a little bit faster than like the Sierra. Uh-huh.
Right.
And it's definitely faster than the Champion. I mean, like I said, you know, a lot of times, I mean, the Champion, I made it as my original Super Spook rod. So it's a fast action rod. It rates out what fast, and there is no standard, but it is fast. But it's on the slower side of fast. That's what makes it so versatile. It's just, you can use it for reaction baits and, you know, tons of stuff. But the cadence of me is going to be faster.
Yeah. Well, how will the warranty rod work for the boom boom rods?
Anyone warranting a boom boom rod will get a Champion DC, just regular Champion.
Yep. Skip a weightless Senko. For me, it's a Fury 703 spinning rod. That's another one of those techniques. I don't think you need to get fancy. You don't need a real light, super sensitive rod. You're watching your braid. Fury is a great rod for that.
It is. And that's the stink. That bait right there is like, it's, it won everybody a lot of money.
I know it's one of Clark Ream's favorite rods.
Yeah. A Senko is the craziest bait that's ever been made, I think. If I had to pick one single bait to only fish one bait the rest of my life, it'd be a Senko. You can fish it so many different ways. I mean, sure. You can weight it, you can whack it, you can Texas rig it, and every way it fishes a little bit different. And every way the fish eat it.
So Christopher says he's got a 744 and a 735 XP. He says he has trouble hooking up on the 744, but not to a 735. Any advice?
I'm drawing a big blank, to be totally honest with
you. Bad luck? I don't know. That doesn't.
They're both extra fast. They're both extra fast rods. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The 35 balances a little bit better than the 44 does, truthfully, but actions are pretty darn similar. I don't know. I really don't know. I tell you, as fishermen are confidence, you know, you lose two or three fish in a row, and the first thing you start thinking when you hook one is like, please don't come off. Please don't come off, you know. So that could be part of it. It's hard to say. Those actions are not that much different in those rods. The 44s, it loads different, but I really don't have an answer for that. I don't know why a guy would catch them on a 35 and not a 44. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I used the 744 a ton last year, and I can't think of a fish that I miss. So, recommendation for a 1.25 punching rod on the Delta.
For me, it's a 766 because I mean, you can do you could get by with a 65, but. 66, and I mean, there's so much vegetation. You got that hyacinth, and sometimes that stuff might grow 3 foot off the water, and it's just thick, and you need all the rod you can do to get them out of there. I tell you what, I will give your listeners a great tip right now on punching.
Time for some juice. Listen up, kids.
Take a Gammy 6-0 Monster EWG, put a 6-inch Senko in it. You can do it with a 5 too. It makes no difference. There's nothing to grab that vegetation going through, and you can get by with a lot lighter weight. I mean, mm-hmm. To me, I hate punching 2 or 2.25 ounce weights. You can punch a Senko with a 1 ounce weight and go through the same stuff most of the time. And it's all about reaction bite. Them fish, they don't care what's on the end of that bait. It comes through that mat and they're going to bite it. And a Senko, there's nothing to catch on all the grass and hyacinth leaves and everything. It just follows it straight down through the hole. And it's very overlooked as a punch bait, and it's one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah. I haven't used it for punching, but I have done it where we flip a lot of grass edges in Minnesota, and you can get by with like a 1/4 or 3/8 ounce weight and cover as much water and go as fast as somebody flipping a 3/4 or 1 ounce with a creature or a tube craw.
Yeah, there's nothing to grab that. The guy's using these punch skirts and stuff, and they've got so much – there's so much bulk there. They've got to use a ton of weight to be able to get it through there. That Senko just follows that weight right straight down through. Like I said earlier, you can't fish a Senko wrong. It's the craziest bait ever made.
Best use for the 725.
That would be, I had a great crush for my buddy, Larry Nixon. That is his favorite rod. He's pitching and fishing jigs mostly with it. And that's what I would say is, the strength of it, definitely. Yeah, Larry has been a friend of mine forever, and he absolutely has a love affair. That's his all-time favorite rod now.
Nice. I'm tempted to get it as a dock rod and get rid of my – replace my DX705 with that 725. But I haven't. Best topwater rod in the Champ line, Walking Baits, and Spooks.
Most guys are going to say a 733. I say a 734. I just like that rod. It
JJ will say 734 as well.
Yeah. It both has the same action. They it just depends on what you want. And I tell you, I throw all my super spooks on braided line. Let me back up. I'll put a 10-inch leader of fluoro, and I usually use leader material because you get a lot stronger knot out of it. And that's just when you're working that spook real hard so it doesn't grab the front of them hooks. That braided line wrapped around the front of the hooks drive you nuts. Put an 8 or 10 inch floor in front of it. And I use big stuff too. I'll use at least 20-pound test. A lot of times I use 25. Fish don't mean nothing. You got such a short section there, you don't have to worry about it dragging the bait down or nothing like that. I throw all of my spooks on and have for more than 25 years for sure.
It's same for me. I do use the threes. I like a 733. But again, for that type, I mean, for forever, I was using a Savvy, right? Or a Fury. To me, there's not a really good reason to jump up to the Champ line for throwing a topwater. You can get by with a Savvy or a Fury or something like that. But I agree. Straight braid with a 10, 8, 10, 12 inch mono or fluorocarbon leader, whatever's handy, 17 to 20 pound line. I would say if you like to throw super spooks, big vixens, like the bigger baits, 734. If you like to throw Sammy, like the smaller Sammies or like the EMA skimmers and a little bit thinner, then probably 733.
Yep. Don't forget about the Colt 734 on those, because again, it's cheap and it's awesome.
How do you decide on a handle length when you're designing a rod?
It's a great question, truthfully. It's going to depend on what you're using it for, the main use of that rod a lot of times. Swim bait rods are the given. You need a longer handle you can tuck that thing. Most of my swim bait rods have a 13-inch handle, most of them. We do run some 10-inch handles on the SBMTs and, for the guys that are using it for walking baits. But it just really depends. Jig rods, most of the time, somewhere around 10 and a quarter. Most of the time... Some of the shorter 684s and stuff, they'd be like 8.5 or 8.25. Just really depends on what technique I think is going to use it the most, and I just vary it. But there's not a ton of difference. I mean, most of the handle lengths are going to be somewhere between 9.5 and 11 inches in most cases.
Cool. Rich G's calling for a Hellebass signature rod. This is a good question. You ever fish with D. Thomas?
I've never fished with D. I fished around D forever. He's the king of flipping. I mean, it's it's bad to say we're all getting old. D's quite a bit older than I am. But the guy's still fishing. You got to give it to him, man. He had a rail built for his boat where he can get anywhere. He can actually walk to the front deck. You got to give it to him. The guy's still out there catching fish. And I don't know how old he is. He's older than dirt, though.
Yeah, I'm sure you must have had some conversations and some stories at boat ramps and tournaments and things like that, right? I mean, definitely fished against him probably hundreds and hundreds of times.
Yeah, I'll tell you, truthfully, we took first and second, switching those two places back and forth more times than I'd like to think about. And I love beating that sucker, I'm telling you. And he loves beating me, too. And when he wins, you could hear D laugh for a quarter mile. And, God dang, I hated taking second place to him. And it happened a lot. I mean, a lot.
Ben says, thanks for the 704 Sierra.
Seven footers are just a standard rod length. I'm hung up on longer rods. We push 7'3" a lot, but we sell a ton of 7-foot rods, and there's a lot of guys that like them. And we sell lots and lots of 7-footers. And every time we keep saying 733 or 734, in reality, probably the number for us, our number one selling rod is 7'3". But sure, most companies, it's always going to be a 7-footer.
Geefan says, outside of the U.S., where are Dobbins most popular? Where do you sell? It must be at some exports.
Oh, my gosh. We sell a lot to Australia. We do well in Australia. We do Italy, France. You know, we do well. We did extremely well in Canada until the dollar really got out of whack
right
up there. And then that really hurt us in Canada. We sell we sell them. We got distributors scattered around the country all over the place. But as far as outside of the U.S., our biggest is probably Australia. We got some really good accounts down there.
That's surprising.
I seen the grumpy old men come across there.
Poppers and spooks. We kind of talked about this. You know, some people like 4-power, some like 3. I like a 703 for poppers and the 733 for spooks.
Some people with poppers, guys tend to use a shorter rod a lot of times.
Frog rods, I would say most popular, especially at the entry level, are 735. You can get that, like a Fury 735 is a great budget frog rod.
Absolutely. No question.
Yeah. So, Nick, Omnia does not carry the Sierra outside of, I think, the trout and panfish. And I believe when they started with Dobbins, Gary was out of Sierra at the time.
I mean, I was going to say, that's my fault. Okay.
And then now, recently, I've talked to them, and they're so full, like they're a growing shop, and they just don't have any space to add another model. Like they're like, so they're just kind of stuck right now. So,
yeah, that one's 100% on me because when those guys come on, I said Cadence because I know I'm going to be in trouble in Sierras, and it's coming. I'm still good, but I know it's coming. I'm going to get in trouble on Sierras. There's just no doubt about it.
I bet you if you sent them an email, they could probably order you one and and they could do like some kind of drop ship or something like that. So,
guys, we run a great drop ship program for all of our dealers. If they're a Dobbins dealer, you go in, you buy that rod, they will fire an email or a phone call into us, and that is our single number one priority. Any drop ships are our number one priority because that's a sold rod from the dealer, and we want to make that dealer and us look good. So that is all drop ships go to priority number one. No matter what we're packing, who we're packing for, a drop ship order comes through, we fire it out. And if we can even get it 10 to 15 minutes before FedEx shows up at 3:00, it'll go the same day. It's that kind of priority. And all of our dealers can drop ship. So if you want a Sierra and they don't stock it, go in there and have them order it. We'll ship it to their door or your door. It's your choice.
Dennis says, lives in Michigan, a lot of plastic worms. What's a good rod?
Spinning your casting.
Budget. Yeah. I mean, like.
I don't want to sound rude by not answering that right. You just need more info to give a guy a really accurate.
Somewhere in that 3-4-power. Casting, spinning, depend. Are you more open hook? Are you closed hook? Are you like, are we talking Senkos? Are we talking, so.
That's right, guys. Alexa, we do rod recommendations and, we're going to ask several questions and we're pretty good at it. We do it all day long and we can really get a guy dialed in pretty good. Find out where he lives, how he's fishing, size line, cover. And it's pretty easy.
Yeah. And so I'll say, like, we're creeping up on 2 hours. We're probably going to wrap things up here in the next 5-10 minutes. And there are definitely questions we didn't get to and that we won't get to tonight. But, you can call the shop. You can leave a comment in the video afterwards, and I'll do my best to answer it. Or you can send me an Instagram or a Facebook message. And, I'm happy to walk through that same triage that Gary does. Or if you want it straight from the horse's mouth, you can call down and talk to Gary or Bryce. So there's a lot of options for people that didn't get their questions answered live tonight. But we did our best, and I feel like we answered a lot of them, but we're probably not going to get to them all tonight. It was a different one here. Tangiri shares favorite. No, that's not what I, there was. It keeps jumping the chat. It was something about somebody's. All right. Kids question. Gary, what's a good panfish or crappie rod? My son wants to know.
A panfish rod. I mean, honestly, grab a Colt.
Colt panfish rod is really nice, actually.
It's really good, and it's really tough. I mean, it's perfect. It's what he needs.
Yeah, and it's 6 foot. So as a kid, you like, and they're not going to be like super awkward whipping it. You know, too much rod. I need to throw spinnerbaits and chatterbaits 3 to 1/2 any price. For me, I like that 734 Sierra. If you like a little shorter rod, 704 Sierra is a good rod for spinnerbaits. Like, I'm a big fan of that Sierra lineup for spinnerbaits and chatterbaits and moving baits.
It's a great reaction rod. It's just that little bit of slower action. It just makes them really good.
Well, that's an interesting question. Chad coming in. So a 3/4 ounce hair jig, like the preacher jig, the chicken, what are guys using, or what do you see a lot of people throwing for those chicken type jigs?
For a 3/4 ounce hair jig?
Yeah. Those like stroking kind of like ledge, you know, hair jig.
744 champion would be a tough one to beat. That's just a great rod. You could do the same thing with the 764 because it's got the extra, it's not as fast as the 44, but it's got the extra length. And that makes up for it.
I would almost say I would lean 764. I feel like that probably would be a little more ideal. Just be able to pick up that extra line, and it's just got a little more forgiving in the end of it. But it's still in the back end will load up the same.
Funny thing about a 764, that was the first rod that we ever ran out of when we started the company, was a 764. And it's not – I can't say it's a hugely popular rod, but the guys that like it, they don't have one. They usually have 3 or 4 of them. But most of those guys are not a 734 fan. They are 764 fans.
Yeah. The only time I used a 764, I was down fishing with Billy Coles on Smith Mountain Lake. And I used it to throw mag drafts around docks, and I caught a couple nice fish on it. And as I'm retooling this spring, I'm kind of get rid of some of the old savvies, and a 764 is on my list to add for this spring. So Ecstasy rod for Ned Riggin.
That would come into a spinning rod. Truthfully, I would say either a 723 or 753. I mean, usually you're Ned rigging. If you're rigging it with an exposed hook, you get by with a 2-power. Otherwise, you really need a 3-power.
Yeah, I would say for me, Neds are a 2-power rod thing for me. But for me, I like the 702 champ for Ned rigging, so I would go whatever the similar Ecstasy is. Chet says he's got a 744 and a 795 in the extreme. The jig rod in between those would be, I would go, if you wanted to stay in the extreme, I'd go 745. If you wanted to go XP, I'd go 744. And then Caden, I'd probably go 745.
Agreed. We sell a lot of DX 745s. It's a really super popular 44 and 45 are both. I mean, they're both barn burner sellers for us in a DX line.
Yeah, I think last time we talked, you were coming off the shoulder. How's the shoulder doing?
It sucks, to be totally honest with you. The doctor is convinced I'm the shittiest patient that he's ever had.
So, back to the bullheaded thing before.
It's hard for me to stay down. You know, I get bored. I'm not a homebody. I mean, so it's probably a lot of I brought on myself, but my shoulders are just shot. I mean, the job that I did, you know, for 19 years, I just handled too much weight, and, you know, everyone who worked in that facility. And honestly, I made underground cable, you know, huge underground cable. Any electricians, though, hear the size 1750 MCM. That was the largest I ran, but we ran a lot of 1000 MCM and 1250 MCM and stuff. It was just, with heavy work, and we just wrecked our shoulders.
Sure. Brad, I would definitely go 735 for jigs and T-rigs over the 736.
Right.
736 is a meat stick.
It's awesome, though.
Yeah, I mean, it hammers them on a frog and third things, but you're going to day in and day out, you're going to like the 735 for jigs and Texas rigs. Dustin's finally off work. He's free from what he calls the prison, which is his job, but it's not really a prison. It's a juice factory. 3% left. Cool. Let me check here. Well, I've really appreciated your time. Let's give us a good one. This is a popular one here. What's your favorite square bill rod?
Probably 764. But I got a love affair with that rod. But most guys are not going to throw that long a rod for a square bill. Sure. Rod. And they're going to throw a 7-footer. I'd say 705 is hard to beat. But I like a lot of four powers. And it's really going to depend on how big a square bill, because some guys will call like a BDS-3 and a BDS-4. You know, technically they are square bills.
They're big.
They're just a bigger crankbait, too. Most time when somebody says square bill, I think small. You know, 1.5, 2.5 and stuff.
Thanks for tuning in, JJ. Yeah. Carol, glad you enjoyed it. So if you guys came in late, we covered a lot of ground. I'm seeing some questions come in that we definitely already covered. So you can definitely check out the replay on YouTube, Facebook. Also, you can download it in the Hella Bass podcast. So you can listen to it while you're jogging, working, driving to the lake, you know, any of that kind of stuff. So I think we're just at 2 hours is a good point. We're never going to catch up to all the questions, but I don't want to keep Gary too late. I appreciate your time, Gary. Any parting words or anything else we didn't cover that we should talk about?
Well, bud, I really appreciate you having me, and I really thank all the listeners for listening. It's truthfully, this is kind of what I do most of the day, you know, talk fishing rods and right. talk to bass fishermen. Like I said, I'm very, very fortunate. I got the best job in the world. I get to talk to fishermen all day long. It's just great. But I really do appreciate your time and having me on, and hope that we can do it again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to make it at least we can't skip a year. We'll have to do it at least once a year. And if you guys didn't know, Omnia carries Dobbins rods, and I have a code down below on the screen there that you guys can use to save yourself a few bucks on those rods and support the dealers that support Dobbins and support the show. So that's another way to support the channel. So appreciate it. This has been awesome. I'm glad we had record numbers tonight, super attendance, and I only imagine the replays will be through the roof, whether it's on the podcast or on YouTube. So
thanks a ton, guys. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Hope everybody catches the big one this weekend.
Yeah, I'm finally excited to get out. It's been a long winter up here. So, as always, here to help you guys catch more big bass and suck less.
As always, thanks to all of you that hung in till the end of this podcast. This has been another episode of Hella Bass Fishing Podcast Experience. Please consider sharing this with any of your bassin' buddies and friends. This is the best way for podcasts to grow is through word of mouth. Also, don't forget to search Hella Bass on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, or just about anywhere else so that we can connect in more ways. As always, here to help you catch more bass and suck less.